Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the season of life that you've called us to be in. Sometimes the seasons are very joyous, and we get to celebrate because we turn 90. Maybe for Frank, he'll turn 90 twice. But Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the healing that you provide through him. We thank you for Miss Donna. And we pray that you'd continue to bless her all the days of her life. Give favor on her. Give her wisdom. May she continue to just reflect your light and your love wherever she goes. And now as we turn to your word, we pray, Lord, that you would give us focus, clarity, and peace. And yet, in that peace, disturb us so that we may lean further into your hands of love and healing. Challenge us, Lord, where we need to be challenged. Comfort us where we need to be comforted. Thank you for your patience. Help us, we pray, Lord, to not miss it. We pray this in your glorious Son's name. Amen. This comes from 1 Thessalonians, or again, 1st, if you prefer that, chapter 5. And in this scripture, Paul is trying to encourage young believers. This church that is following Jesus, that's trying to be his hands and his feet, the kingdom of God here and now. And he's given them some words of wisdom. Now, some of you have had church experiences that are right in line with this, what you're going to read, and that's great. Some of you have not. And some of us maybe just struggling right now with where we're at, and maybe some relational challenges. Well, look what he says here. Live in peace with each other. That could be enough for the sermon, and I could sit down, because that sometimes is a challenge, isn't it? Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. But always strive to do what is good for each other. Goes on later to say, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's the word of the Lord. Every couple months, I try to come to you with some insight from God's word about how we can relate better to one another. It actually comes from a burden from, if you will, that several of you have experienced in your own life. And this is a statement: I never dreamed blank and blank would get a divorce. There have been people in your life you thought they'd be married forever, and they didn't, weren't able to run the race for whatever reason. It's not about pointing blame here right now. But the reality is most churches' strategies when it comes to supporting couples is we do some wedding stuff. Then we help with people in crisis. And then every now and again we'll do some other stuff. But it's really the majority, the focus, the strategy for most churches is we'll deal with it when we really need to deal with it. When people call us for help, we'll help them. And I'm not saying we don't help them. What I'm saying, though, is this. What if we had less time for crisis because we just kept building up relationships? Now, you might find yourself saying, well, I'm not even married right now. Guess what? If you know anyone that's in a relationship, this is probably good information for them to know as well. Talk it over with people. I'd strongly encourage you. Talk it over lunch. Talk it over where you're at. Talk over the challenges. But it's so important that we understand that we need to encourage one another. Life is hard, but God is good. And in those challenges, we have to lean on each other. We have to lean on the Lord. Well, I want to talk to you about one of the most important habits of any healthy relationship is respect and love. Now, some of you, when you said yes, if you've ever been married or are married, you had an idea of something. You had an idea of what that would be. And I'm not saying you all thought it was Disney, but you probably thought a little fairy tale action. You probably thought, I love them, and they love me, and they're going to fix me, and I'm going to fix them. You know what I mean? And all these things, right? And at some point, you got to a part where you were like, Oh boy, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. And you just started clicking your heels and you just kept going and going, this has got to be different. This can't be what marriage is. And yet how many of us have just been stuck? Well, I've shared with some people that it's really not the challenge of our other that we really struggle with. There's actually deeper things that we struggle with. See, I put it here, it's that our spouse doesn't bring out the worst in us. They really don't. The reality is they reveal the brokenness in us. Think about that. We are incredibly gracious, unselfish people. And then you get married, and you start seeing all their selfishness, don't you? You start seeing all the things that they're doing. That, well, why you do it like that? We never vacuumed like that. You have to see lines in the row? Like, what is that about? How do you do the checking account? Who pays this bill? Does one person pay the bills? Does one person? And you have all these different assumptions, and you might have talked about them, and then, yeah, we'll do that. And then if you have the privilege of ever having children, you learn real quick how selfish a little one can be and how that affects your plans. Isn't that interesting? I heard a gentleman say, I believe God gives us children to grow us the rest of the way up. And I went, ooh, man, that's been my experience. Holy cow. So that brokenness that's in us, I believe a phrase or a word that would really help us understand something is this idea of crucible. Crucible is this pressing in, this pushing down, this incredible experience of challenge, this difficulty that we didn't sign up for, most likely. We didn't volunteer and say, I really hope I have a very challenging experience that changes me forever. No, we said yes because we love that person, and they said yes because they love us. But the reality is this crucible is something that will mark us. And the only way through it, don't miss this, the only way through it is, like Jesus, to surrender all. To surrender all, be willing to die, to take up your cross and die. See, that's the difference between marriage and Christian marriage. Christian marriage is not about we stay married because I'm happy, you're happy, we get along, everything's fine. Christian marriage is about us, believe it or not. It took me years and years to figure this out. God arranged marriage so that we could be a witness to others of his love and his intimacy for the whole world. In fact, there's a scripture that Paul talks about where he is just trying to unpack and say, you know, the church is like this. And he explains how a man will leave his family and the woman, and this is the man shall love his wife, and the woman shall respect her husband, and they should be both mutually submissive to one another and serve one another, all because it exhibits who God is. But the crucibles that happen in our lives, those are the things called life that God uses. The only way through them, unharmed, that we don't get more broken or marred, is to surrender. Now think about how this relates to your own life family-wise. You don't have to be in marriage to be through the crucible, do you? If you know teenage children and youth, I should say, they're in a crucible. They've never had more changes in their entire life. They look at the mirror 100 times a day. They're trying to figure out what's going on and where's that smell coming from. Thank you for the two people laughing. But the reality is, the changes they're experiencing are real. They don't know how to express what's going on. We love them through it. We pray for them through it. When you are looking at your significant other, when you are trying to figure out again, why did I say yes? May you be reminded that it's bigger than your reason. In fact, your reason is so small. I like how Laura Munson puts it. In your vow, for better or worse, what did you think the worst was going to be like? I wonder. So dragons, I refer to them, if you will, as those areas in our lives that just, we don't realize the monster that lives within sometimes. That there's just something someone does and it's, you went from 0 to 60, 1 to 10, and you feel completely justified in your reasoning and why you're so angry. Meanwhile, the person or persons are like, What did we just step on? What landmine was that? Had no idea. Let me share with you about my brokenness that my wife revealed in me. Just this last week, and it was just one of those harmless, nothing, no stress. We're just relaxing, chilling out on the couch. The kids were just getting ready to go into bed. And my wife and I have both been incredibly busy. If I haven't been sick, also on top of that, she's been sick. And so we've been back and forth and stuff. And I just like, man, we have not had any time together. And so she's working on the computer and she's just going to town and stuff. But on the chair where she sits out, her feet can sit up. And so I kind of like getting up and I'm like, ooh, we have a little tickle to her, right? I'm just gonna whoop whoop. And it was like I just yelled and screamed at her and called her names. It was just like I just stepped on a landmine. The dragon came out and I'm like, what, where did that? I'm like, hey. She's like, you know I hate that. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, what just happened? I'm like, come on. And then I start defending. Instead of hearing and listening and saying how she's being ridiculous, which is always a wise thing, gentlemen, to always say to your wife. Here's what's not to do, right? So I didn't realize the dragon had come out. And so I'm like, are you're having this much challenge? I'm like, I just was. It could have all been different if I just had the courage to look at her and say, you know, I miss you. I'd like to spend some time with you. I'd like to hang out. But it was safer for me, because what if she rejected it? It was safer for me just to kind of, okay, yeah, she doesn't. It's my walls. Now, in that moment, my amygdala is not letting me think straight, okay? My brain is going, what is this? Where's the respect? Right? Like, what's going on? Why are we having this issue? I just touched your foot. Anyway, the reality is that's not at all helpful, is it? And that's not helping me get closer to her. But it's amazing how deep our woundedness really is. Sometimes it's easier to apologize than admit I'm hurt. Sometimes it's easier to just, oh, okay, I'll try not to do that again next time. Versus to tell her, I just wasn't sure if you cared again, if you cared about me in this moment. I try to be transparent with you. Let me give you some things to do, or at least one thing to do. Turn towards each other. It's easy in those moments to turn away from each other and justify why you're right and they're wrong. In those moments when you feel absolutely right, I encourage you to pray, Lord, help me to see how they are right. Before you start praying, Lord, help them to see how right I am. But I encourage you, turn towards each other. This is something that I've realized in these last several years, that unhealed wounds, those that we keep from coming into the light, usually seek to medicate itself through pleasure. What's your pleasure? It doesn't have to be, if you will, sin. It could be pornography. It could be drugs. It could be so much more. It could be going back to work and putting in an extra 10, 20 hours. It's just safer. It's just safer. What is the wound that you need to turn over to the Lord? And the question that I really want you to consider is, will I let his wounds touch my wounds? All of us have brokenness. It's amazing how we are so much like an onion that as we pull back layer upon layer and we think, oh, I'm fine, I'm good, that doesn't matter. And I feel seeing my parents and their divorce. My greatest fear, and I told this to Leslie, my greatest fear was, man, I'm going to screw it up like my dad. I don't want us to go down that road. I was like, man, I look a lot like him. Maybe I'll act like him too. We're very different people. And I have a gift that God's given me called choice in how I treat one another and how I care for one another and surrender to the Lord. The brokenness, am I operating out of that brokenness or am I working through it and saying, Lord, I need you to heal me here. I need you to touch me here. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have brokenness all throughout our lives. Every one of us, if we're breathing, has experienced brokenness. But before we jump to defend and we jump to accuse, maybe it's the brokenness in us that you want to deal with. Maybe that conflict isn't bad. It's the first step in us surrendering and leaning into this crucible, that we would be changed into the image of your Son together by your grace and by your Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would not only be over our relationships, but you'd be over this entire world. You'd bring hope where hopeless people just continue to get through the day. That we would lean on your Son and your Spirit as you are a good, good Father when we get the hard news that the diagnosis is very, very difficult and troubling. May we lean on one another. May we not be so guarded that we don't let others lean in and love on us. And maybe it's safer to tell one person than to have to tell everyone. So Lord, give us that courage, give us that friendship, and help us to be open and receptive. And Lord, we lift up all in this community. We pray for the churches that are trying to serve and honor and glorify you, that you have raised up a movement in your Son, and you are continuing it this very day. Have your way with us, we pray. We pray for those again who think that they don't need it at all. They don't need your Son. And we pray for them an extra dose of your grace, that you would love on them through us and through others. We pray that you would help them to see the love of your Son through the cross and through the resurrection. And remember, Lord, the prayer that your disciples learned and asked and pleaded, please teach us, Father. And you said, pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.